First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can go for all the latest on any stories we're covering or catch the latest podcast or this live show. I tell you, for you guys that are new to the show, the phone number is, as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys that are in a listening queue, and gals, of course, we appreciate you being there as always, but make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad so we know you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, you can always join the live chat. We always have the chat room open for anybody that wants to be in there. If you want to, you can use your Facebook, your Twitter, or any other social media account to sign into the live chat. So we have all kinds of ways to get to us. I tell you, folks, I've got Marlboro in one hand, coffee in the other, a microphone on a headset, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, man, how much better can it be to have all of that in an hour with you? For the record, we just went over 11,000 subscribers to the website at LouisvillePolitics.com. So we want to make sure that we point that out because it's very, very important to us. The more of you, the merrier. And, you know, we thank you for all of that. And there you go. I tell you, it was just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we announced 10,000. Now we're at 11,000. You know, it's been a pretty big process and a process I'm very proud of, that you folks follow Louisville politics and Louisville news as much as you do. And that's not even counting the tens of thousands of you guys who listen to the radio shows and everything else and make us successful. We will be going on a fundraising drive in the very near future, though, so there's fair warning for that. As you know, we do not focus on traditional advertising as a general rule, although we will take it if it's offered. But there does come a point in time with so many now, literally approaching about 200,000 each month, you know, it's to the point where we may have to start doing some of that. So be prepared for that. It's not a situation we're trying to scare you into, but, you know, the bigger you grow, the more work you got to do and the more resource you got to have. That's just the way it is. I tell you, the thing about this is when this whole thing started a few years ago, I was always worried that there would not be enough content to do the daily shows and to have different hosts. And I would have never dreamed to have the radio network or the following on the websites and things like that. But, you know, every day I wake up and I do the news searches and I go through everything that I normally go through, including researching my own cases and stuff. And we've got a very fascinating case. Two of them actually going on right now. We touched on last week at LouisvillePolitics.com. It's a case concerning the Glen Mary Homeowners Association. Their golf course is going to lead right back to Jim and King Southern Bank. We also talked about a lawsuit concerning Mayor Greg Fisher and former Ford employee Jay Morgan. We touched on that last week. We'll get updates on those stories for you at the beginning of the week next week. You know, those things do take time. But it's interesting because there's always something to talk about, to write about, to explore. You know, I get, you know, a few hundred email every single day, you know, with people with different stories or different comments or different things they want me to get involved in, and you just simply can't do it all. But the whole world at the very beginning of this, would we ever have enough content, is long gone. You know, this is something that we will be around forever. I mean, as long as I'm breathing, we'll continue doing this. I tell you, it's amazing how much of a need there still is, even after all of this time, for somebody to get to the root of the problems. And, you know, we have some things we talk about continually, you know, and one of the things we do for you guys that are new is we typically start off with some issues in and around Louisville. And I tell you, this is one I thought was really interesting. Hat tip to our good friend Jake Payne over at page1kentucky.com. I say good friend because Jake can't stand me, and that's okay, but he does good work on occasion. And this is one of those. Over at page1kentucky.com, Jake could put out a story on Monday basically concerning instant racing and Judge Thomas Wingate. What makes this story interesting is Thomas Wingate is a judge who is actually the one who has been responsible for hearing the suit and everything else, you know, concerning instant racing case here in Louisville. It's the Family Foundation of Kentucky. It's taking on the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Kentucky Department of Revenue, basically every horse track we have in the state, you know, and they filed a suit to stop instant racing. But Judge Wingate, apparently, according to Jake's article, has some impropriety here. And quite frankly, I have to agree with him. The bottom line is Stoll, Keenan, Ogden, a law group here in Louisville, you know, and they have offices around the state. But, you know, they are representing some of the tracks that are involved in this case. The problem and the impropriety comes into Judge Wingate's son was hired to work in the Stoll, Keenan, Ogden, Frankfort office recently. Wingate says there's no conflict. He's not going to recuse himself from anything just because his son works at a place that's coming up before his court. You know, and he filed an order for on his action. Well, the problem is, you know, his son just now, first-year law student, is miraculously hired up by Stoll, Keenan, Ogden, particularly at a time when this particular law firm is representing the horse tracks, and Wingate has already ruled the horse tracks and will apparently continue to do so. I mean, if nature holds true, right? You know, so this is the way it goes. You know, his son got this job long after this case was in the middle of all of this stuff, and Wingate has no problem saying that there's not a conflict of interest and that he can't be impartial. You know, is this the reason his son got this internship? You know, right when this case really started going into overdrive? Think about that. So it is a big deal. Jake's absolutely right on this. It is a big deal because this does promote the appearance of impropriety. You know, it does give Stoll, Keenan, Ogden an advantage because, let's face it, they can talk to him at work, and he's going to go home and talk to his dad, the judge. You know, whether he does or not, we don't know. We'll never know. You know, but the reality is that they just created that potential, and come on, folks. You go to work every day, and you talk to somebody in your family every day about things that happen at work that's probably none of their business. You know, it's the same in every profession, so, I mean, I think that that's a very serious concern. You know, and so we've got all of these things. And I thought that was an interesting story that we needed to touch on. You know, it is very, very telling that Judge Wingate feels like there is no conflict of interest here regarding his son, you know, being involved with the attorneys that are before his court on a case. That just doesn't make sense, does it? So, you know, we've got to start looking at this really, really in depth and start really paying attention. And we will going forward. We'll actually do some investigative research ourselves. In the meantime, check out page1kentucky.com for that story. Again, Jake's done a good job outlining it. And, you know, here in Louisville, you know, we've got our own problems. I tell you, this is an interesting story that came out today over at WFPL. Louisville Metro Housing Authority officials are considering taking part in a study that, in theory, would eliminate some of the financial burdens that come when you live in public housing. There's a big backlash going on now concerning this story. I find it fascinating that the backlash is there. I'll tell you why in just a second. But basically, the backlash is because the city of Louisville is saying that the residents themselves will not have the option. They won't have the choice of opting out of this study. So all the public housing residents and all these community groups are standing up saying that this is wrong. So we're not going to get involved in this study. Of course, this is called the Rent Reform Study for you guys who haven't or who have heard of it before. It is conducted by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. Okay. And basically, what it's designed to do is make an evaluation on an alternative rent policy. What they want to do basically is modify the rent calculation formula. And using selected groups of public housing residents to make decisions on how to do this. They want to change the rules. And that's fine with me. It's fine with most people. You know, if you live on Section 8 and our tax money, we should have some sort of accountability for your ability to pay. You know, so, you know, this is the thing. But what's really fascinating is these groups, you know, are getting involved, these community groups are getting involved, firing up the public housing residents, and they are describing this now as a forced social experiment on poor African-American women. You heard me right. They are saying this is a forced social experiment on poor black women. Now, the last I heard, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, I could very possibly be wrong. I've been wrong before. I may be wrong again sometime in my life. I don't know. But the last I heard, Section 8 is open and used by everybody of any ethnicity. So why would they make this a racial issue? Why would they make this a racial issue and try to tell the whole world that this only involves poor African American? And see, that's how you get the divide going. That's how you make things divisive between all of us. Because Section 8 is open to everybody. There are plenty of white women on Section 8. Truthfully, there are plenty of white men on Section 8, as well as black men on Section 8. So you've now made this a feminist issue, and you've made this a racist issue for your own gain. The fact of the matter is that they don't want to be involved in this because some of these people, whether they're white or black, green, yellow, or purple, may actually have to pay a little bit higher monthly rent than they are right now. You know, this formula is going to be revised and force these folks to make to spend 28% of their gross annual income on rent. How many of you guys live on that? How many of you guys are paying 28% out of your pocket for your living arrangements, for your house, your apartment, whatever it is? Does it matter whether you're making minimum wage or whether you're making $50 an hour? You have to have a place to live. And if you're not on Section 8, you're paying it. Why is the folks on Section 8 thinking, you know, why do people think that we owe them something? They're on Section 8. You know, and they were also looking at raising the minimum rent payment from the tenants to $75. Most people on Section 8 pay some sort of subsidy. It's usually minimal. It's usually 10 to 30 bucks. So they're talking about making it 75 bucks minimum. You know, they're going to look at how they determine annual income, They're going to eliminate so-called deductions and allowances. Okay? So we have to look at this. So the supporters argue that the changes are going to benefit the residents. Jim Show, who's a social researcher with the nonprofit organization DRC, says the main advantage of the policy would to allow the tenants who get a job to not report the boost in their income for up to 3 years. So what that essentially tells me is that if you're living in Section 8, you go get a job, and you end up making $50 an hour, you don't have to report that for 3 years. You're going to have this cheap rent for 3 years that's going to affect somebody else. And believe that happens. There are people that can do that. There are people who are living in Section 8 that are going to school and everything else. They don't want to be a slave to the system like most. They're going to school and everything else. They get their degree. They get a good job. You know, that happens all the time. So, you know, public housing residents' monthly income is actually, or their monthly rent payment is actually subject to what their income is. So they make more money, they're going to pay a higher rent. Folks, we all have to pay rent. The piper has to get paid to have a roof over our head. This is just some crazy stuff. You know, so when we look at all this stuff, we're looking at these community groups and the residents getting angry because, oh my dear Lord, somebody might come in and have to verify what's going on in my income level that makes me take advantage of the taxpayers. I told you guys horror stories that we know are going on, one of which was very personal to me when I used to work at Ford Motor Company. One of the gentlemen who worked for me out there, and I use that term gentleman loosely, had been with the same woman for 20 years. She has lived in public housing for the entire 20 years. They have 4 children together. His children were on Passport and Medicare and Medicaid. She was living in Section 8 public housing over in the Hazelwood neighborhood. And he was staying with her. Every now and then he would leave for a day or two when they knew the inspectors were coming to see who was living there. That was it. Working at Ford. $27 an hour. And he would not marry her because he said, you know, that's my wife, but we're not going to make a legal marriage. Even though I've been with her our whole time, haven't been with anybody else, those are our children, we're not going to make it legal so that she can continue getting free rent, food stamps, all the other government social programs she qualifies for as long as they're not married. He gets to keep his whole paycheck and he can blow it either, you know, spoiling the kids or whatever. So then I looked at him and told him the most obvious. He had one child with some serious medical issues. I said, come on, you've got a kid here that could go on your medical at Ford. It's not going to cost you any money. Ford pays for all your family benefits. Ford people don't pay for their benefits. Their benefits have gotten worse, but they still don't pay for them. And at that time, basically, essentially, everything was free. I mean, you did co-pays and deductibles at that time. You know, he said, oh, if I do that, she loses everything. He's all right. They got Passport and Medicare. And there are a hell of a lot of people gaming the system that way, folks. So maybe those people are just pissed off now because they're going to get caught. But for these guys to sit here and make this some kind of an accusation, this is all designed to be a social experiment on poor black women. That is just as bad to me as our former mayor, Jerry Abramson, saying that the problems in Louisville were because we were becoming poorer, blacker, and older. It's not about race, folks. It's not about race. There are as many white people using these same benefits as there are black people or anybody else. And I despise the fact that they have chosen to try to make this a race issue. The author of this story over at WFPL is Jacob Ryan. I had to report that, but Jacob should have called these folks out for that because that is wrong on any level to force this issue to be so divisive based on race and feminism. I thought that was pretty interesting. In latest state news, Allison Lundgren Grimes, as we call her, Allison Wonderland Grimes, has raised $4 million in the last quarter, which is supposedly the record, the state fundraising record for Kentucky, $4 million from the so-called supporters over the past 3 months. You know, the thing that makes that funny is she didn't get $4 million from Kentucky. The Kentucky citizens are giving $4 million to Allison Lundgren Grimes. As a matter of fact, 75% of all her donations have come from out of state. So let's sit here and talk about supporters like these are people who are going to vote for you. These are people who are buying favor from you, Alice in Wonderland Grimes. You know it. We know it. Everybody knows it. And let's not forget, this is not just a single issue for her. She did outraise incumbent Mitch McConnell by lower than $1 million, you know. But the statement was out there that Kentuckians are coming together to invest in our campaign because they recognize that Alice in Wonderland Grimes will bring a new generation of leadership to the U.S. Senate. That was her campaign manager, Jonathan Hurst, in a press release he sent out. The thing is, that's not the truth. It's another lie. These aren't Kentuckians coming together to give her $4 million. These are her California Hollywood group. That's the truth. That's the truth. So we have to start looking at the real picture here, folks, and quit trying to act like this is some kind of a big deal. Now, to be fair about it, you know, Mitch McConnell does the same thing. The majority of their fundraising on both sides comes from outside of Kentucky. It's not that Mitch McConnell is any better in that perspective than Alison Lundgren Grimes is. They both do the same thing. But it's just once again, the lies of manipulation by this camp. Alice in Wonderland Grimes has not taken a firm position or a firm stand on anything, has dodged any question of merit to her. She only jumps on an issue after somebody else has made a decision. And not just Mitch McConnell. She'll wait till anybody makes a decision. If I make a decision on an issue, she'll try to claim it later. You know, she just has no thought process of her own. She is nothing more than a generic candidate put together by the party. She's not as bright as a damn light bulb, folks. It's just the way it is. You know, but to continue putting out lies like that, you know, is something that voters need to know. You know, Mitch McConnell lies, too. We're not going to sit here and accuse that, but this is the story of the day. You know, one of the things that they put out, you know, according to Jonathan, as Mitch McConnell turns to his Washington special interest allies to bankroll his campaign, our grassroots campaign is driven by supporters in all of Kentucky's 120 counties. Now, folks, we're sitting here talking about this state, you know, being one of the wealthiest states in the union. You know, we're one of the poorest states. Our unemployment rate, our health care, everything in here. We don't have money in Kentucky. So if you're going to sit here and try to lie and tell me that you got $4 million from individual donors, you know, in all of Kentucky's 120 counties, they make up all that money. When we know the truth is you're getting 75% from outside. Seriously. Quit lying and get your shit together, for lack of a better word. And to sit here and talk about Mitch McConnell turning to his Washington special interest allies, come on. Alison Lundgren Grimes is doing the same damn thing. She is taking money from special interest as well. She is also going to Hollywood to make money. She has gone to places outside of the United States to make money. These aren't Kentuckians. So I just get sick of that. Today was one of those days I just thought that was interesting. Now, for those of you who want to sit here and look, you know, Alison Lundgren Grimes is taking more money into McConnell, but she's doing it from other people who could afford it, not us. But, you know, McConnell's total so far for the full cycle, the election cycle, has been a record-breaking $25 million raised. And Alison Lundgren Grimes has collected total since last summer around $11.3 million. So McConnell definitely has a lead in this, and, you know, you can make up your own mind. And speaking of which, I really want to talk to you guys and ask you to check out a website. It's very rare that I would do that. I usually give links for the stories we're doing because I think it's important for you guys to know what they are. But there's a website I want you to check out because they seem to be dedicated. I was checking them out and looking at them earlier. It was sent to me by a friend, and they're on Facebook as well. But check them out. They're called Represent Us. Represent.us is the website. But go to them. They are actually putting up a fake candidate in the Kentucky Senate race against McConnell and Grimes. And they're actually putting out commercials and everything else on behalf of this fake candidate, he is actually being honest, if you can think about that. This candidate is going out and telling everybody, you know, health care is a big problem, but, you know, as long as they're paying me to keep my job, I don't care. You know, they got pictures of him, you know, guys giving him money and everything else, and I just thought it was fascinating. They're putting up this fake candidate to see if he can get any votes and to let people know what really is going on at the election cycle and how your politicians are voted or how your politicians are financed. And I thought it was an excellent representation of what is wrong with our political structure today when I look at these numbers coming out of these two campaigns. So check them out if you can. Represent.us. I'll put a link in the website right now so everybody has that available. But check it out because I think you will really like it. I thought it was a parody, and it's designed to be a parody, but they really do have a fake candidate, and they really are spending money and going around from town to town with a bus that's decked out on behalf of this fake candidate. I mean, they're making this a totally legit race on a fake candidate. So check that out. You might really, really enjoy that. Moving forward, Monday night we touched on a story that I had pointed out about a woman who was arrested because she did drugs while she was pregnant. Well, I'm going to do a little bit more of this for you tonight. We just did it at the end of the show. We didn't have time to get into it. But according to MSNBC, and this story came out Monday afternoon, 26-year-old Mallory Loyola, she was charged under a Tennessee state law because both her and her newborn daughter tested positive for meth. Her daughter, pregnant with her daughter, they tested her while she was in the hospital. But this Tennessee law says that if you use narcotics during pregnancy, it's considered an assault offense against your unborn child. And there is a maximum prison sentence of up to 1 year. It's considered a misdemeanor assault offense if you do illegal drugs while you're pregnant. The question for me comes down to this. How can you honestly pass a law like that and actually try to enforce it when abortion is legal? It's okay to assault your unborn child and cut them out of the womb and kill them. That's murder, right? But if you take an illegal drug because you're an addict that needs help, but you choose to keep your child, well, then that's an assault. That's an assault on an unborn child. Now, I don't know about you guys, and I'm really not trying to get into the abortion argument, but can anyone see the hypocrisy in that? Can you truly see the hypocrisy in that? That is so interesting to me. Because we look at this situation and say the woman has a right to choose. It's her body, so she can choose to abort her fetus. But if she does meth while she's pregnant, then she just assaulted her unborn baby and has to go to jail for up to a year because she's an addict instead of getting her help because she chose to keep her baby. That's just, I'm going to tell you, I just don't get the hypocrisy in that. Maybe I'm wrong. But it really is bad. And, of course, it all comes down to money. On average, according to the Tennessean, on average, it costs about $62,000 to deliver a drug-dependent baby. Where you look at it, you know, where you look at it from the other perspective, if you go through a regular delivery, it costs about $5,000. You know, so it's kind of nuts. Let's see here. Chat room. Roll Tide. Roll Tide says, beyond the abortion argument, who the hell gives the state the right to get your personal info from the hospital? You know what? That's a very good question. You know, because, you know, unfortunately, the way that the laws are written today, the hospitals are required. Well, I say unfortunately, and I don't mean it that way. But hospitals are required in the event of any potential child abuse that you are immediately required to contact state officials. So when babies come in and have been beat up and everything else, you know, they're required to call state officials. And the way I gather from this Tennessee law, this new state law, and I don't have all the information, maybe I'm wrong, but the way I gathered is they basically just piggybacked that on that requirement. So when this baby was born drug addicted because her mother was doing meth while she was pregnant, that they piggyback that as abuse because they made this an assault offense, so it's abuse against the baby because they took blood tests. They always take blood tests when they're newborn on both the mother and the child. So they basically piggybacked on this abuse thing, the child abuse laws that they already had in place that require them to notify the state. You know, and so the next thing is this. So this will lead to people who have done any drugs to try and have their kids at home so don't incriminate themselves. You know what? Problem so. And what's that going to do? That's going to injure the child even further, right? So, you know, so they're going to try to have their kids at home through natural childbirth so they don't have to go to jail because they're addicts. So instead of spending the money to treat the addiction, we're going to spend the money incarcerating them. Yeah, I can see your point there. I totally agree with you. I think that's what's going to happen. The reason they wanted abortion to be legal was so a few thousand people every year wouldn't have to, you know, go to some backdoor doctor to get an abortion because it was illegal. Well, now you're forcing these women who are drug dependent, you know, just trying to survive, that believe in trying to keep their child. Now you're forcing them to go into the same situation. It's a paradox, isn't it? It's a paradox. And Roll Tide also mentions the lab mix-up or false positive. You know, that's very true. That happens all the time. My wife gave birth to our first son 30 years ago, and at that time I was in the military, so he had to be born. He was born at Ireland Army Hospital out of Fort Knox, in Fort Knox, Kentucky. And the first thing they did was take blood from both of them for their specimens as soon as he was born and promptly screwed him up. They said that my son had a low iron count and some other problems with his blood, that my wife was healthy, and we had to go home. They kept him for a couple extra days in the hospital, and they forced us out. Now, back then, they didn't allow parents to stay with the kid on military basis. I don't know if they do now or not, but back then, they didn't allow it to if you weren't a patient. So they sent us a merry way. Of course, we go up the very next morning, you know, and stay them all day. But, you know, they mixed up the lab results. Turns out my wife had low iron and a few other things. And thank God they figured it out 2 days later because she ended up having to have some treatment. But my son was perfectly fine. So lab results do get mixed up. Now, I understand that isn't the extent of a meth problem and things like that. But lab results are so easy to mix up, it's unbelievable. So, you know, we look at this, and I just found it very fascinating. You know, that this woman who is an addict just seems to have this problem that now she might have to go to jail for a year. And Roll points out another thing. Now we're going to have to take this kid and separate the mom and the child for a year. You know, what's going to happen then? You know, that creates a very serious conflict in that child's life going forward. As everybody knows, a newborn baby, the first year, the first few months, is the bonding period between mother and child. Baby goes and bonds with somebody else because they're put in foster care or anything else. Number one, it's going to be very expensive for us when we could work with this mother in outpatient treatment probably and keep her with her baby so they can get together and you know, learn each other. There's all kinds of different ways to handle this without having to make this an assault offense. So go ahead, you women that think you have the right to choose and it's your body, please go ahead and run to your local abortionist and have them, you know, kill your baby, your fetus. Go ahead and do that. Feel free to do it and go home with a good conscience and not worry about it. It was right for you because you didn't want the responsibility, something you should have thought of before you got pregnant. But you go ahead and do that. And in Tennessee, at least, you go ahead and do one dose of meth while you're pregnant and have your child yanked away from you because you try to keep your child and you're treated like a murderer and a domestic assault person and you're put in jail. It makes no sense. It really doesn't. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It really is. So in the meantime, we've got all that and more. I tell you, we're going to go to break real quick, take our bottom of the hour break, but I do want to hit your teaser, folks. I saw this story earlier today, actually on Huffington Post, and I found it laughable. You're going to love the surprise coming up, how much your local labor unions really do care about people. Stick around. You're going to enjoy it. Listen to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are. Welcome back to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. And while you're checking out LouisvillePolitics.com, don't forget to join our email newsletter and join our RSS feed for the show. That way we get everything delivered to your inbox for you, and it makes it awful easy for you not to miss any podcasts or any stories that we're covering. For you guys that are new to the show and just joining us, 858-683-1326. And 502-805-0334 are the phone numbers. For you folks in the listening queue that just joined us, make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, the live chat is always open if you just want to jump in there and comment. And you can comment using Facebook and Twitter accounts to sign in, so you don't have to worry about joining BTR or none of that other stuff, I tell you. So there's all kinds of ways to get hold of us. You know... So many times, you know, I spent the first few minutes of the show talking to you guys about content and how, you know, you always get worried you're never going to have enough. And content just comes to you in so many forms. And this is another one of those situations. Stupid story of the day from labor. Yep, you heard me. I'm going to pick on the labor unions. Big surprise, right? But this is very interesting because one of the largest unions in the country, the AFSCME, better known as the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, they essentially a government labor union, has decided to sever its ties with the United Negro College Fund. They didn't do this because the UNCF had done anything wrong. They did this because Lee Saunders, the president of AFSCME, did this because the United Negro College Fund president, Michael Lomax, decided that he was going to go speak at a Koch Brothers summit in California. Now, here's the thing. United Negro College Fund's mission is to do exactly what their name implies. Put money together and give scholarships to young African Americans and give them a chance to go to school and maintain and get a better life. You know, I mean, let's face it, poverty is probably its highest within the African-American community. So here's a great program, the United Negro College Fund, trying to help overcome that poverty. And so the UNCF president, Michael Lomax, went to the Koch Brothers Summit in California because Koch Brothers announced last month that they were going to give a $25 million grant that would go towards scholarships for the African Americans and support historically black colleges. So it makes perfect sense when somebody gives you $25 million that's going to benefit the young African Americans that you fight for every day and give them a great education and a chance at a better life. Well, I would certainly expect the UNCF president, you know, to come there, President Lomax to come there and say thank you or something. I think it's the right thing to do. I think anybody with half a brain would agree with that sentiment. Unfortunately, the labor union, AFSCME, did not agree with that sentiment. You know, they sent a letter. Lee Saunders, the president of the union, sent a letter to UNCF president Michael Lomax, saying that it was with the deepest regret that the union would pull out of a scholarship program run with them. Saunders is an African-American, which makes this even worse, because they were doing this as a result of actions that as president of the UNCF, they're not only deeply hostile to the rights and dignity of public employees, but also a profound betrayal of the ideals of the civil rights movement. Now, Saunders Union represents 1.6 million public sector employees. How can he sit here and say that this is deeply hostile to the rights and dignity of public employees? What has it got to do with that? And how can he say that this is a profound betrayal of the ideals of the civil rights movement? This is some of the most asinine pieces of garbage things I have ever read. The AFSCME has been teaming with these guys for about 11 years now. For about 11 years, the AFSCME and the UNCF have a union scholars program that has put college students to work in Ask Me summer work programs, and it also offers scholarship money in their junior and senior years. According to the Ask Me spokesman, the union has typically provided between $50,000 and $60,000 to the program each year. And then, of course, their local affiliates, the union locals like Local 62 here in Louisville, all these locals put money together. So the bottom line is all the contributions amount to a couple hundred thousands of dollars a year. So in 11 years, they have given maybe $3 million. Now, folks, this is disturbing. In 11 years, they have given $3 million. The Koch brothers are going to give $25 million to help the community, African-American students, to get a proper education. And AFSCME says this is a betrayal to the union, and it's a threat. What in the hell are they talking about? Paul, you're on the air.
Hi, Ed. I think it's pretty clear that that the focus on the dollars and cents aspect is just the wrong focus. The focus is on the fact the union, when they had unfettered, unrestricted, and unchallenged access to these students, was able to lord that over the students and in one way actually make those students, or at least they thought, made those students beholden to the Ask Me point of view, which, as we know, has been traditionally supportive of Democrat candidates who definitely fall in line with the Democrat platform, okay? Mm-hmm. So the fact that these supposed rich white guys who are reportedly on the Republican side of the ledger has decided to throw their money into the ring in an effort to achieve the goals of the National Negro College Fund, I think speaks volumes to what the real motives of labor unions in general, and in this particular labor union in particular, really is. It's not, their contributions was not to help the kids. The kids, it was a secondary benefit. Their contribution to the United Negro College Fund was to control the United Negro College Fund and the recipients thereof. If anyone thinks for a moment that the kids that got awarded any money out of the money that the labor union provided were not cherry-picked, they were wrong. They are just flat wrong. The kids were selected were friends and family members of those who were most supportive of the Democratic agenda and the labor agenda. Even if the kid was a good student and he didn't have connections, he probably didn't get any money.
Well, that's true, and that actually is a normal process. Anytime you get unions involved in higher education, I mean, it happens at all of them. UAW is the same way. They give out scholarships, so they pick and choose you know, who they want to get it based on favoritism. They don't pick and choose it based on qualifications. And I'm sure it's the same way with AFSCME, but I mean, it's real interesting because, you know, for one thing, these kids that are in college aren't getting any scholarship money from the AFSCME UNCF joint thing until their junior and senior years. You know, so they're going to work at AFSCME summer work programs. So they're going to work in union summer work programs. Okay.
No, they're not going to work in the summer youth program. They're going to work at the indoctrination camp.
Well, like I said, the union summer work programs.
Indoctrination camp.
That's fair terminology. I'll give you that. You know, and this isn't a dig against unions. It's just, once again, this proves the leadership to me is unreal. I mean, here you've got $25 million on the table to help provide a quality education for a segment of the community that really needs it, is the African-American population. I'm 100% behind that. Does it really matter where the money comes from? As long as the money is going to the scholarship program that's going to give kids a fighting chance to learn skills and survive? I mean, that's the thing for me. Paul, we're going to take this other call real quick. Stay on the line. This is a 512 number. You're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. What can we do for you, ma'am?
Well, I was just commenting on $25 million college fund. And you know what? Like, I heard the other guy, and I understand what he means by ulterior motives, but who cares? They're giving, you know, money for African-American men and women to go to college and, you know, get an education for themselves. I mean, isn't that what we should be doing, is investing in the education? You know,
that's exactly the whole point. That's exactly
Bingo.
The whole point.
Bingo.
Exactly,
you know, like,
yes.
We invest in welfare. We invest in, you know, food stamps and everything like that, and free health care and all that. We waste so much money. Why is it such a bad idea? God forbid that we invest in education so people could get off their ass and go get a job themselves and go get educated and do something for themselves, you know. Why are we discouraging that when we constantly encourage screw-ups every day?
You know, I just fell
you know?
In love with you. I just fell in love with you. I mean, you're absolutely right. That's exactly the whole point. And that's what makes this so disturbing, that the president, you know, for one thing, the president of the AFSCME Union is Lee Saunders, who is African-American himself. You know, you would think that he would appreciate, if we're going to make this about race, if we're going to make this about anything else, you would think that he would at least appreciate the fact that it doesn't matter where that $25 million came from, as long as it's going to get education on the table for people who don't have an opportunity for it. You know, that's the thing.
And that's
what makes this disturbing. Go ahead.
And that's what I think where the government is going wrong. We have one of the crappiest educational systems, you know, on earth. And it's like, you know, and it's not even in college. It starts in high school. I mean, teachers are like glorified babysitters. They just sit there and give you a friggin' packet. And it's just, why don't we take the money that some of these bums are staying on their asses, you know, working the system and cheating the system, why don't we take some of that money and we invest it in schools and, you know, invest it in good teachers and have grants and give kids who wouldn't, because there's a lot of kids out there, and it's not just black kids, but there's a lot of kids out there. If it wasn't for grants and scholarships, they wouldn't be able to go to school. So guess what they do? You know, they need government assistance.
You're absolutely right.
You know, generation after generation. And it's not just black people. It's not just black people. There's white people.
Oh, no.
And I just want to make that clear. I'm not racist.
Oh, no. Well, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing we continue talking about. It's just like we did a story earlier about this new HUD program trying to go into neighborhoods about Section 8 and things like that, and the community groups are saying that this is an assault on poor black women. It's not an assault on poor black women. Section 8 is used by as many white people and Hispanics as it is anybody black. It's color neutral, but they'd have to sell the racism divide to keep us so far apart that they can benefit from it themselves, and that's the people in power. I want to ask you something. I'm not familiar with the 512 area code. What state is that?
Texas.
Okay. So you're down in riparian country. No wonder you get it. All right. So you're probably aware of the story coming. you're probably aware of the story coming out of California just a couple of weeks ago then, where nine students actually had to sue the California school system because of the tenure rule that the teachers enjoyed through the unions. These kids sued the California school system to get rid of the tenure rule because they weren't learning anything from the old teachers, that the school system was downsizing and getting rid of young teachers who could relate to them, who were working to teach them and could do all of these things to keep old teachers who were basically sitting in class, handing out packets and sitting at the desk reading a magazine like you're describing. Students.
No, I didn't hear that story, but I'm impressed by that. I applaud them.
Look it up. California students sue the school system. And that's the thing. I was very impressed by that for exactly what you're talking about. Now, I don't know what your age is, and you never ask a woman her age.
20.
But I would say, okay, so you've been in school since I have. I'm 50. But I will tell you, my kids are 30 and below. So I'm very familiar with what the school system has done here in Kentucky over the last 20 years, which is crazy. This Common Core thing is one of the worst things I've ever seen. So, and I think you're absolutely right from a fundamental basis that our school system needs to be overhauled. So how do we do that if we can't get these guys to look at charter schools, if we can't get these guys to get rid of this Common Core crap? The public indoctrination camps are run by the public indoctrination unions.
Didn't Obama cut funding for scholarships for charter schools, you know?
Yep.
For kids that couldn't afford them because that wasn't fair.
What's the solution? Well, what is Texas doing? What's the solution? What is Texas doing to make education better in Texas? Because I'm not familiar with your education system.
Well, first of all, we need a governor that could actually spell education.
Okay,
second. He is such a freaking dumbass. Seriously, like he lives off of, you know, this $12 million mansion, you know, and has all this long hair and, you know, and he doesn't have a clear opinion of anything. When you ask him something, he's pretty much saying what his publicist wants him to say, you know?
Isn't that all of them?
And I think it's all of them, yes. I don't think there's a people, and that's a problem, is there's not people in our government, in office, that run it with integrity. And you know why? Because it's power. Power is, you know, just as like it, I think it's just like a drug, and it's like as good of a drug as any. Because when you get on a power trip, guess what? You get so high from it, and then you get addicted, and then you lose your integrity. When your salary is up, it's hard to relate to the common man, and you forget what is best for the community. You forget that, and you have it where people like this, who are giving $25 million, and that's great, but they also have ulterior motives, you know, and they use it to control people. And, you know, with Obama, who signed $3 billion to help these illegal immigrants come into our country, I don't know if you heard about that, where there's going to be thousands from Guatemala, Mexico, and Honduras, how, you know, he's not doing that out of the goodness of his heart. He is doing that so he can get more votes. And it was a while back where it was election period where illegals were allowed to vote, you know. And it's like they always have ulterior motives.
Well, now see,
because they like.
I got to tell you, I take offense to the fact that you're saying illegals were allowed to vote. I mean, if we can let dead people vote Democrat, why can't we allow illegals to? That was a bad joke.
Actually were allowed to vote.
Oh, I know. And
what?
So were dead people. They just put a woman in Cincinnati was doing that stuff. But, you know, the thing is...
You were offended by me, or...
No.
I offended you?
I was making a joke that the Democrats let dead people vote, so we didn't have to worry about illegal immigrants voting. Okay, a bad joke that the Democrats kind of...
Oh, yeah, I get it now.
It's interesting, though, because if you look at the $3.7 billion that Obama is talking about spending on illegal immigrants, allowing these kids to come here and stuff, he is already going to all of these states and promising different amounts of money for them to house the illegal immigrants. And yet right now we know for sure that at Lackland Air Force Base, we have disease running out of control. We know that these kids for lack of a better word. A lot of these kids are gang members. They just happen to be 17, not 18. That's how they're labeled as kids. But we know all these things are going on. Public transportation was used. Public buses, public planes, public trains were being used with disease-leading so-called kids being transferred around the country. And they take these children. There were some reports out of Lackland Air Force Base from the medical staff there that at least, you know, one or two children who were suffering from severe psychological trauma, instead of sending them out to get psychological help, they just shipped them off to the East Coast and implanted them with a family that didn't know the history of these children, and they're going to get lost in the system. And that is the biggest thing. None of these illegal people are held accountable to anything. They're brought in. We feed them, we house them, and clothe them. Sounds like government assistance on steroids, right? We tell them how to get money, yeah. And then we just lose society. How bad is it in Texas right now?
What?
How bad is the illegal immigration, you know? You got Lackland Air Force Base right there in Texas. I went to basic training there when I was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Lackland is one of the worst right now with the disease population from the Central American illegal immigrants.
And how much money is it going to cost, like, to get all these kids vaccinated and everything? Because, I mean, they're coming in with a lot of diseases, and that's going to cost a lot more money in health care, which, you know. And you know where they're cutting funding, ironically? They're cutting funding with the military. The military,
oh, yeah.
The people who sacrificed their lives fighting for our country, you know, which I have absolutely nothing but respect for people who fight for our country. I do. And it's just the fact that we have totally disrespected them. When they come back here, the government does not do crap for them. And they are on the streets. They are homeless. They suffer from PTSD. They have had their arm blown off or lost a leg or, you know, whatever, and they've seen babies blown up, and they don't get the help that they need. And guess what they do? They end up addicted. They end up homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure,
the government doesn't try to help people that fight for them. And you know what? There's people out there, and I swear, you know, there's people out there who talk so much crap about the military, and it's like I've heard stories about them. I heard a story the other day about our biggest heroes in America are the ones who go out there and work, you know, the ones that work for a living. I'm like, really? Like, if I was there, you know, when that guy made that speech, I'd probably deck him in the face, because my brother is in the military. And, you know, how you don't recognize our biggest heroes as veterans, like, you know, that is ridiculous. They go out there and they see.
I will tell you this, Pat. Tell your brother thanks for his service from Ed Springsteen. That's me. I am a veteran,
yeah.
And I'm very proud to be one. The show is getting ready to wrap up, so I apologize. We're going to have to cut a little bit short. Get on Facebook.
I'm sorry, I ran a lot.
No. Actually, this is a talk show, dear. That's what we do. I've got no problem with that. Get on Facebook. Next time you're on there, friend, if you don't mind, you can friend me at Ed Springsteen or at Louisville Politics, one of the two. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much. I tell your brother God bless, okay?
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. Paul, got to wrap this up, man. We're about out of time. I want to thank you for your call as well, to both of you folks. It's a very interesting conversation. I totally enjoyed it. I tell you, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, here you go. You know, we talk about, you know, we have a reach all over the country. Just had a nice lady out of Texas call us, you know, that sees what we all see, that America is on a downward spiral into non-existence thanks to the failed policies of the Uniparty. Notice I didn't say Democrats or Republicans. I said Uniparty, because Democrats and Republicans are both the same. The two-party system only cares about one thing and one thing only, the party's power. That's it. We didn't get into a mess in America because the Democrats controlled America for the last 100 years. We got in a mess in America because the two parties decided that the party comes first and we, the people, come second. And that is not the way a free society is supposed to work. And that is not the way our Constitution is supposed to work. For all you liberty-minded individuals, keep fighting. But I tell you, I'm really inspired by this call from this nice lady in Texas. I really am. But it's not just here in Kentucky that's involved. We know this, but it's nice to get that reinforcement from other places. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, don't forget to come back at 7 o'clock, same time, same channel. And I tell you, we're going to get into a few more stories. You know, it's we're going to talk a little bit more about the illegal immigrants. And quite frankly, Iowa Governor Terry Branstad stood up to the federal government and said, sorry, we're not going to take them. And I think that's great because that's what we need from our elected officials at state level. We're also going to talk about Bo Bergdahl. And we're probably going to get into a little bit about the IRS scandals that continue going on. Yes, amazingly, I can't believe it. You can't either. But another hard drive crashed and could not be recovered. Ironically, it just happened to be Lois Lerner's right-hand person at the FEC when she got changed. So we'll get into all those stories and more tomorrow night. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you at 7 tomorrow. Take care. Have a great night, folks.